I have Dollop tour dates to announce for the year 2024 of our Lord J-Town. We have our 10th anniversary show coming up in Los Angeles on April 27th. Guests are Karen Kilgariff and James Adomian. And then we are going to Australia starting on May 13th in Perth, May 16th in Sydney, May 18th in Brisbane, May 20th in Canberra, May 22nd in Melbourne, and May 24th in Adelaide. You can get your tickets at dolloppodcast.com.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Pastimes Podcast. Each week we go through an old newspaper from a random date in history picked out by Dave Anthony. I'm Gareth Reynolds, and I've never seen it before, and neither is our guest this week,
Arden Marine. Hello, Arden.
Hello, Gareth. How are you?
Well, I'm great, and Dave will not, you will not engage with small talk with Dave. That's one of the rules.
Okay, great.
So, I'm just glad with this. It's our first Marine on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your service.
You know what? Thank you so much. It was hard. I trained a lot, and I'm very proud. And there's a few of us, and that's the best that I can do.
Well,
yeah. I mean, there's a few of us is what people often say about the Marines. There's a few of us.
That's what they say.
Yeah. I mean, I just hope that I make you guys feel safe while I'm on the podcast, that my presence makes you feel safe.
Very.
So your podcast
very
is secure.
Much so.
Whew, we're going to need you to come back for everyone because I feel good. I feel like I'm covered in bubble wrap.
Yeah, that's exactly.
I feel nice.
That is what my essence gives. That's just the sheer presence generally. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Shush, Dan.
So today's newspaper I have selected is from Sacramento, California, October 23rd, 1885.
Oh, my God.
Is there any connection to Arden in this one or no?
Nope. No, I did not do a connection. I just grabbed one and ran with it.
What's the hot goss of the Sacramento Bee?
Yeah. It must be something. I just love to picture Dave finding a paper that works and being like, oh, this is a really weird paper.
Does it have a name of the actual paper? It's the Pacific Bee.
I knew it was a bee. I don't know why. Why did I know it was the bee?
I think it's still probably the same paper. Now there's a Sacramento Bee.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of a newspaper named after an insect. But this is the one.
What about the Denver Mosquito?
That's one. Yeah, a little
bit. It's a great paper.
I got cholera from the Denver Mosquito.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
Did you get that from a mosquito?
You're not supposed to read it. That's why. Yeah. Well, you can get a lot of stuff from them. So, yes is the answer.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
I wasn't sure how you got cholera, but that was I thought mosquito.
You're the Marine. You know.
I'm the Marine.
You're the aquatic one of us.
I am. I really am. I am both on land and I'm also like a Marine.
Right.
That's right. So we're coming in hot on page one. An alleged robbery is the headline. This happened in Chico, California.
Yeah.
Dr. Moss, a specialist doing business on Main Street between 1st and 2nd. By the way, in all these old newspapers, they tell you exactly where the person works and lives.
Seriously, home address is normal for them to be like, lives on Clock Drive, Big Green House.
Yes, he's got the blue door that his neighbors hate, and he shits on his lawn when he's had too much ale. That guy.
he's a lawn shitter. He's a lawn shitter.
The lawn shitter. Dr. Moss, the lawn shitter.
So Dr. Moss informed the police officers yesterday afternoon that he had been robbed of $1,490 in greenbacks.
Ooh. Okay, so that's
a lot of money back then.
That's money. Translates to cash.
That sounds like a lot of cash.
Yeah, back then that's a lot of cash. So he stated that his wife had been in the habit of carrying the money concealed about her dress.
Okay. Sure.
She stuck it up
detail.
her 1800 Spanx.
Yeah.
It's in her bra, right? Or her Spanx.
Yeah.
It's like
her corset.
Her corset or her garter Spanx of the time.
Yeah.
Were there Spanx back then?
I think it was literally, I've done plays like that and they have to like literally, somebody has to tie the corset. It's like a two-person situation.
We've tried to always make it a pleasure for women through history. It's really been
so good. I mean, when I think about the luck, so luck, just so good.
Yeah, yeah.
You're welcome.
So comfortable. Thank you.
Well, these old, fat, white pieces of shit.
Thank you so much.
I don't know. She doesn't look like her tummy's taut enough.
Pull it in. Get some whale bones on her.
Put some whale bones on her. I'll just eat more fish.
Yes, yes. Great. And then you get like gout and like, you know, like when like people would just eat, I picture like whale oil and just looking like Mr. Creosote.
Gravy buckets.
Gravy buckets.
That's a nickname of mine. Go ahead.
That's my nickname.
That's right.
Gravy buckets. It's been so nice to see you too.
Yes. Thank you. But as she had some work to do outdoors, she put the money in a satchel and then placed it in a trunk. So she doubled it up. She doubled it up just in case.
But it wasn't like jammed up in the corset because she was out cleaning like the lawn shit or shit off the lawn. She
put your corset on when you're doing that. You look horrendous.
Will you stop shitting on the lawn?
I'm a man. I meant to.
Oh, I picture a man with mutton chops screaming that. Just like covered. It was like with like gristles stuck in it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Swipe right.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Gravy boat.
Gravy boat. Stop it, gravy boat.
So during the time his wife was outdoors, he was on the street, and when he came home, they discovered that the money had been stolen.
Okay.
There was no clue to the thief. It is probable that some sneak had been watching the movements of Dr. Moss and his wife, and when he got an opportunity, dodged quickly into their house. The loss falls heavily upon him, as it was all the money he possessed.
Oh, my God.
That's like his IRA.
Yeah.
Yes.
I kept my
IRA.
Nest egg in my wife.
Yeah.
But that then...
Yeah.
Oh. Then there's a parenthesis at the end of the story.
I love it.
A later number of the Chronicle relates that the missing money was found in the possession of Miss Moss, who had concealed it. She is young and pretty, and Moss is 70 years old.
Okay. I knew there was hot goss in this. I asked for hot goss. You're like, it's not the hot goss. It is. So basically they're saying his trophy wife.
Yeah.
It's almost the equivalent of right now in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Erica Jane and her billionaire, like 90-year-old husband, they found that he was like stealing money from like airplane crash victims and stuff. But she had a lifestyle. She had a glam team that she had to keep in business. And like he kind of was funneling money. But this Real Housewife of the Sacramento 1800s, she's like, fuck this guy. I'm taking it for myself.
I don't think I've ever heard a pitch that'll get me to watch The Real Housewives more than what you just said, by the way.
I'd never watched it before, quite honestly. Like, I've gotten sucked in very... It was really like a pandemic situation. Like, okay, I've run out of things to watch.
I give.
Yes, it was literally like this pod person. I've watched the smart stuff, and now let me just surrender and watch everything that, like, my mush brain...
Yeah.
And I gotta say... Chef's kiss for a pando viewing. It's, there you go. It is what it is.
I definitely was also feeling like it felt like it either felt to me like they were both in on it or it was something she was pulling off. But it is a big, not rare. Normally you don't get that level of mystery and resolution in the same article. The parentheses
is a
big player.
The writer of it has a lot of judgment on the young bride.
Oh, 100%. He's like, well, look, we solved it because he's old and she's young and pretty. Case closed.
Yeah, why didn't you marry a shrew like my wife? You've got the pretty... What did you think? You were going to keep Emily interested, gravy boats? I don't think so.
You're
70. Emily's 12. She's 16. Like you're disgusting. I don't want to be with my wife anymore. That, but like, we all love your wife, but like, that's what you get. That's what you get for reaching up to the high shelf in the store.
Taking the police report, where it's like, we're just both so devastated. Yes, it was. Hopefully, it turns up. I don't know where it could be. Right, honey? No, absolutely no clue. Just who knows? We're all baffled.
Do you think this was the police sort of shaming them for wasting their time?
Oh, yeah.
Sort of like, you're going to get a front page because, like, why'd you drag us into your shenanigans? Like, your marital strife shenanigrams, because you guys just, like...
Shenanigrams should also be a social media, but...
that should be the name of the newspaper.
Shenanigrams. That shenanigrams 100%.
Sacramento shenanigrams.
So much better right off the bat. Yeah.
I would honestly get a subscription to it present day if the Sacramento newspaper was the Sacramento
shenanigrams. Anyone need a shenanigram?
Hello, Art of Marine. This is Shenanigrams. How can I direct your call?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And also, just so you know, Art, this is like one of the more normal front page stories we've heard.
Oh,
normally,
so far.
The front page story is like frog hops.
Wow. Oh, we got one of those right now.
Okay.
A flight of strange insects. This is happening in Nevada City.
There it is.
The atmosphere in this locality swarmed with myriads of small flies or gnats Thursday afternoon for a couple of hours. The insects at first sight appeared to be nothing more than minute particles of some cottony substance, resembling somewhat the fibrous matter thrown out by the cottonwood tree. We have not seen anyone who knows the names of these little numerous visitors. They made their appearance suddenly and has quickly disappeared. The phenomenon has been noticed in other parts of the state.
Somebody sat down and wrote that.
I
decided not to edit it or reread it.
I think it was a punishment. I think this journalist did something wrong and he was like, that's it. You're on bug detail.
Yeah.
Or a kid ran in, a new kid reporter. He's like, I got a hot story. There's little bugs.
So there was a bunch of us out by the field, and we saw a bunch of stuff, and we thought it was cotton, and it was cotton until we realized it was not cotton.
I thought it was a bug, and it looked like it was just ripped off cloth, and I realized it was just ripped off cloth. Let's put it on the front page.
I think this we run with this one.
I have to tell you what's scary about both of these stories is that both of them sound like present day stories in my hometown paper. They literally give like stone wall knocked over, cow suspected, turned out it was like a boy with a bat knocked it off. Like that's fully makes the paper. It's really an incredible crime report. If you read the crime report, this is the kind of times crime report is something.
Oh my Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you are taking a lot of this probably pretty seriously. Like,
yeah,
I was very worried about those bugs and very worried about that nest egg.
Yeah. Yeah. You got closure on one at least.
Finally.
Or both, really. Yeah, finally.
Finally, I needed closure, you guys, and I finally have closure. I finally, as a Marine.
You're welcome.
I've been chasing something as a Marine. You know, it's like you don't become a Marine. Like,
you're not born into it.
No, you're not born into being a Marine. Are you crazy, Garrett?
Nope.
You haven't been born into it. No.
Nope.
I finally feel that I have peace.
Good. Good. That's what we're here for.
Ghostbuster shirt for a hot second, Dave Anthony.
Oh God!
I saw
Ghostbuster.
I saw just like the top red and white. I'm like, is he wearing an anti-ghost T-shirt? I would have loved
for
that.
For Dave to be walking around proudly, I ain't afraid of no ghost. It's just
I got slotted.
I am not.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I'm not afraid of no ghosts.
You seen Dave? He's been a little weird ever since he started wearing that Ghostbusters shirt a lot.
Every day.
I think he's got two.
And it's like, I think it's like he doth protest too much. Like, you might be afraid of some ghosts.
I'm not.
Okay, yeah. Why are you wearing it every day, Dave?
Well, I just want people to know I'm not afraid of no ghosts. What's the big deal?
Boo.
Fuck. Okay.
That's what I'm going to get him for Christmas.
That's what
two.
I'm trying to wrap my head around.
Oh, you know what I'm going to get him? I'm going to get him the full-on Ghostbusters outfit.
Great.
There you go, buddy. Here's the jumpsuit. Wear the Dickies.
That feels very Dave Anthony. Dave Anthony.
There you go, buddy. For the plane.
The plane.
For your plane ride.
It's his travel outfit. He's formal.
Yeah. It's your travel outfit.
It's his travel outfit.
Well, you got to be ready.
You don't know. That JetBlue plane might be on.
Oh. Slimer, you trust that guy?
No. Mm-hmm.
A brunette's revenge.
Oh, gross. No. This is,
Is it the wife? Is it the young wife?
Yeah.
On Monday last, About 1 o'clock, a young woman entered the office of the State Bureau of Labor Statistics. She was neatly dressed.
Ah, already scandal. Yeah. Relax, sister.
Put it away.
Her face was rigid and pale.
Can you believe that? Right, it's just so fuck. It's just crazy.
It's very.
She has like a hot outfit, but a tight face.
She's got a real pruny face. Real tight, weird sourpuss.
She had a tight face, but I loved her look. She's put together smart.
She's rigid and tight, but a great outfit. Anyway, on to the news.
In her right hand, she carried a stout rawhide whip about 2 feet long.
Okay, gets interesting.
Yeah, why not lead with that? But okay.
The office comprises 2 rooms. In the front room, the door between the two being closed were Commissioner John Eno and Deputy Commissioner Jesse Galland and a clerk named Nelson. Galland was lazily tilted back in a chair just in front of the door, his legs crossed and his head resting on a ledge of a bookcase.
What is he? I'm sorry. Is he dead or is he just? What,
no, he's alive. Know what?
He's I'm like going to take a little. Yeah.
He's like, come in, well-dressed, tight-faced brunette.
Oh, hello, tight-faced. I'm just in the middle of one of my shelf naps. What's up?
Look, I would take a shelf nap if I had to. I could take a shelf nap, but I wouldn't be waiting for a tight-faced brunette while doing it.
It's like when you watch people on the plane in the middle seat try to figure out how they're going to sleep, and they at some point, probably third or fourth option, go to the tray table.
That's me.
And you're just like, is that you? It's impossible.
Now, let me tell you what, Gareth. I can nap anywhere. Literally.
On
anywhere.
A tray table?
Fuck yeah, brah. You know what I do? You got a little fucking pile. So I'll
yeah,
pile.
I'm talking pileless though.
Dude,
I get the pile.
You got to build the pile. You got that tray.
But
you
even then,
stack a pile.
How high?
I can nap anywhere because I'm tortured at night by my sleep. But a daytime nap on an airplane flight. I'm not saying I'm not going to wake up mid-flight with a night terror screaming like, the plane. I'm not saying it's going to be a restful sleep or that I'm going to be a fun companion. But I will fall asleep on that tray. I'm so sorry, Dave. Please ignore my tight-faced, well-dressed my partner in crime over here.
Mr. Enos had risen and had opened the door when the young woman with the whip in her hand brushed past him. Upon catching a glimpse of Galland, her black eyes flashed, and drawing herself erect, she swished through the air and descending, whirled around Galland's head, leaving an ugly red mark across his cheek.
Wow.
This is getting good.
That is news.
That is news.
She's whipping him.
She whipped his face, and he was like fully asleep. Well, he was taking a shelf nap, and he got. Can you imagine a worse way to wake up than
I don't know if there's a worse one. Like someone bull whipping your head.
If you're not paying for this, you really don't want it.
No, exactly. Somebody would like pay top dollar for this.
Yeah,
like
but
if you don't want this,
no,
you're not safe.
No. And again, the sleep factor is strong. I mean, the idea that you are going to be it's tough. Like a cold water, they say, is tough. But a bullwhip around the head takes you a while to process what just happened. You probably wake up and think like you did something. I'm sorry. I must have hit my... Did you just whip me?
In the face.
In my head?
In the face.
Did you face whip?
You got...
Face whipped.
Face whipped. After she stood up erect.
Yeah,
that's right. The victim shrieked with pain, but before he could draw... So before he could draw himself into a defensive position, a dozen strokes had rained upon him.
Oh, my God.
Wielded by the arm of the frantic woman. So you are married, she cried. You have deceived me, you double-faced villain. And she redoubled her efforts. Yes.
And that's the end of the article?
No. By this time, Galland had risen. And maddened.
Hey, stop hitting my head with your whip.
And maddened with pain and rage, he seized the chair and would have brained his fair assailant had it not been for the intercepting arm of Mr. Enos, who stopped the blow and seized Galland by the throat while the frantic young woman plied her cutting lashes until her arm tired. Then she burst into tears and poured forth a vial of chiding reproaches, accusing him of tampering with her affections for his own amusement.
I mean, I'm going to say that's on him. Maybe he shouldn't have been like, I'm a pilot. Oh, I just was sitting in the city.
You're the only one.
I can't call you because I'm the only pilot that's ever existed. You don't know what it is yet, but it's going to be really awesome. Yeah, I'm going to say that's what happens. That's exciting that basically, like, the dirt, the hot goss, that you know, that's a shenanigram right there.
That's a major shenanigram. That's front page of the shenanigrams.
That's front page shenanigram.
But I do agree. I think, I mean, look, look, obviously nobody deserves to get bullwhipped in the head 20 times, but I would say, yeah, I mean, he fucked around, and that is a way to ensure that this person will think twice next time before, you know, if you take 10 lashings to each of your two faces, then that'll make you think twice next time, you know?
I mean,
and then if you do cheat, you are going to be living in an absolute hell sphere where every time you hear a floorboard creak, you're going to be like, I'm going to get whipped.
And she's going to ruin your shelf naps for the rest of time if you do it again.
No more shelf naps for this guy. No. Anytime he's like dropping in, he's like, I should probably wake up just in case.
That's right.
Comes in.
He's not going to relax in his shelf nap.
Just can't
shelf nap. She just created a major sleep disorder, which is fine.
Fine. You know what? He did it to himself. Wow. Yep.
But then did it also say, Dave, that he was about to brain her?
I don't know what that meant.
He was going to hit her with the chair. He was going to hit her
head.
With the chair.
What does braining somebody mean?
Like, it's when you really hit him in the bust head. Her head open.
I don't like that. I don't. Look, this author, this journalist, is like simultaneously being like this, like hot but not hot. Like, you know what I mean? It's sort of like what they call it, the French have the word. It's like ugly pretty. It's like the jolie laid coming in. Like, I'm confused. Yeah. She's hot, like, I kind of want to get at it, but then, like, her face is tight and angry because she just got fully, like, screwed over by this married dude who has, like, probably a family.
And if you're going to focus on one person's face in this story, too, let's go with the man who just took the lashings to the visage.
Yeah, I would imagine his face would be pretty gnarly
he looks like he's got red vines all over his head.
He's got red vines everywhere. Probably forever after that. Like, wouldn't it leave a permanent face?
It'd be hard to cheat.
Hard to cheat. It'd be hard
to explain.
Exactly.
Hard to explain to the wife when you come home. What happened? I just slept awkwardly on the shelf. These are sleep scars. They'll go down.
I kept changing angles.
I just was, I slept on a notebook for a while, so there's a lot of little marks on here. So
I was fucking another woman and she whipped me.
Oh, Ralph, enough.
But I tried to brain her, but then my boss came in.
My boss just held me back and then let her beat me for another hour, apparently.
I was ready to brain her with the chairs, you know, like I do. But
I would have brained her. I would have absolutely brained her.
I mean, she looked, her outfit was lovely, but that angry, tight face and
Face just looked like a ghoul.
How awkward was the office the next day, though?
Oh, my God. Your
boss held you to get beaten until she was tired. Like,
morning, Roger. How was morning? Thanks again for yesterday. That was very helpful. Thank you. That won't happen again.
Help you so your lover can beat you in the face. Look, it's awkward.
Yeah, at some point I'd be like, all right, just hold her back. I won't brain her. Hold her back. He's like, no.
No, it's awkward.
Let her finish.
Yeah, it's awkward.
Let her finish.
God, is this all the same year, Dave Anthony?
Oh, these are all the same day. All these stories are the same day.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a hot day in history.
We got another one. All right. Headline in this one is shot for not obeying orders.
Okay.
Great.
This afternoon, while a number of small boys were engaged in firing at a target near the Salinas Flouring Mill, one little fellow, son of T.J. Smith, an employee of the mill company, not liking the sound of the exploding cartridges, put his fingers in his ears.
Uh-oh.
He was requested by a boy named John Susan to take his fingers out or he would shoot him.
Come on, John Susan.
Susan's been kind of a dick.
Couldn't I have had another guy's name in the middle, Mom? No, John Susan.
John Susan,
come inside. I'm livid.
That's why John Susan's such a bully now. Because John Susan's he's going to threaten to blow somebody's fingers off, right?
John Susan, wash your hands before supper.
This the Smith boy did not do, from probably not hearing the request. Oh, right. He had his fingers in his ears.
Yeah,
so he probably
John
didn't hear
Susan's
it.
Like,
yeah,
excuse me, it's me, John Susan. You didn't take your fingers out. Me, John Susan. I'm about your fucking fingers out.
I know you can hear me.
Oh, here's a little bit of dig. Here's a little bit of dig. And then the rest of the sentence is, and Susan immediately fired the ball. So he's just calling the little boy Susan now.
Yeah, no, it's shifted. Right.
And Susan immediately fired the ball, taking effect just over the right eyebrow, ranging up around the skull and coming out the top of the head. Oh, that's not good. That's actually really bad.
Oh, no.
No, when you mean full ball entry in and out? Not great for the skull, I've read.
He was immediately taken to the drugstore of George McCandless.
By the way, anytime someone shoots you in the head, go to CVS. I've said this time and time again. That's where you're going to get the medical care you need.
I'm not going to lie. I love CVS, and I feel safer to CVS. And as a trained Marine, I would go right to a CVS. I also just think about Dave Anthony. Anthony's a first name as a last name. He could be Dave Susan.
True.
Davey Michelle. Little Davey
Susan
Michelle.
B. Anthony.
Davey Michelle. Davey Susan.
Susan B. Anthony. So then Susan was reading us the article. Davey Susan.
Arden, I mean, we're having fun, but Susan, keep going. I know you've got some more to read.
Okay, wait. Dr. Edwards dressed the wound, which is not considered to be dangerous.
So
it went through his head.
Ball, yeah. He got like teabagged by a ball through the skull.
It came out the top of his head.
Then he went to a drugstore, and the guy's like, "Well, it's not so serious. I mean, I do have some prescriptions to fill, but I guess I'll put some bandages. But what do you guys want me to do? I'll put some bandages over it, I guess."
My brother broke his arm, and the local doctor wrapped it with he was like having a cocktail, and he wrapped it with a shingle and an ace bandage, and there's all these like splinters that went in my brother's arm.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Same doctor that will remain nameless allegedly took a shit in the hole of the third golf, like at the golf course.
Oh, well, that's Dr. Moss. We talked about him in the first story.
Dr. Moss. That's right. This is actually all my childhood. This is my memoir.
It doesn't matter if it's a lawn, if it's a golf course, he shits on it.
He
sees green.
He loves greenery. That's right.
He better have shouted four.
So I guess the kid's alive. The Susan boy skipped out after the shooting and has not been found. So, you know, that was a really a weird story.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. Not a lot of closure, really.
That poor kid that had his fingers in his ears. He was just trying to, like, he didn't want to have his, like, hearing blown out. And Dave Susan, I don't know.
Yeah.
Dave Susan shot him. His name's John. John Susan.
That's such a Dave Susan moves to shoot.
It's classic. It's classic.
Classic Dave Susan to shoot somebody.
Dave Susan is mad because he didn't want to hear the gunshot, so he shoots him in the head. This kid's not got a great future.
What you do is you immediately just take your fingers out of your ears and you put them in the bullet holes. Like
That's
you've
right.
just got new ear holes. You just you replug.
It.
It's called you the replug.
It's the replug.
It's the replug.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, I'll just use the same technique on the massive hole you've put in my skull. Take me to Walgreens.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, here's so sometimes they just do, a lot of these old papers just have like a random little thing, maybe to fill space or something, but this one, there's no headline. It just says, it is reported that yellow fever has disappeared from Guaymas. We hope this is true, but there have been so many lying reports from Guaymas of the same tenor that this should be received with caution.
Why even put that in the paper?
Because they're passive aggressive and they're pissed.
Yeah,
they're
that
like,
is true.
There's so many bullshit reports, so
that is true.
I'm just saying I'm supposed to report it, but if you guys don't stop with your lame ass reporting, they're pissed.
Yeah, another prank
purpose.
From Guyon, I think, to be honest. But here we go.
You know what I like? I like seeing that even in olden times, people can have like sort of talk sideways out their neck at like their coworkers, the people in their town, like. We all just have little bits of garbage people that live inside of all of us and just can leak out, even back in the day.
And also it sounds like the front page is basically like Tetris, where they're like, all right, and then we'll put a baby article in.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
We're on page two. We're on page two now.
Oh, well.
Is this all the same paper?
Yeah. Same paper.
All
on page
one.
Are
two.
You?
Yeah.
This is the greatest.
Things happened.
Paper.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
wow.
Things happened. There,
some of these papers are just bananas, like.
I'm razzled by it. I mean, so far we've got a lot of marital strife. We've got kids shootings. We've got, like, We've got, I mean, I don't like a kid shooting, but we've got like the, you know, like the cheating, the lashing with the whip, the young wife. Like, this is a fun, this is the hot gossip.
It's a hot town. It's the shenanigans.
It's a shenanigans.
Here's another small blurb. Near Toronto, Ontario, Saturday, a large bald-headed eagle carried off and killed a two-year-old child. That's not true. That's not
freedom. That's America, babe. That should be on the goddamn flag of this country.
That is going to be on the flag.
Take that, Canada.
I just like to picture that the stork dropped it, and then the bald eagle was like, thank you kindly, storky. Off for suppers.
You think that's not possible?
No, I don't. I don't think
you don't
it's
believe
possible.
In this country, and you never had. You hate it.
Dave Student is doing his best, and I don't. I'm gonna have to shoot you if you go after him. But just
you do. I cannot believe. First of all, you're taking sides, but second of all, Arden, that is the represent. That is what this country is all about: letting the sign of freedom do what it wants to a goddamn child. This is America, baby.
You should. You guys don't think an eagle could carry a baby.
I do think
not, not a two-year-old.
I think it can carry
baby,
two-year-old.
Yes. A baby, yes.
A baby, but that's 2 year old.
That's why we've always left babies out to get taken away by bald eagles. But we don't do that with 2 year olds.
Sacrifice.
But maybe they were smaller then. Maybe they were smaller
that's
back
what I think.
In the day because we
that's
weighed
what I think.
Less. Then, so
lighter
maybe,
bones.
Lighter bones.
Okay. They had fish bones back then.
We only lived when we were like 11. Then right.
That's right.
At that point.
Right.
So
by the way. If your child is taken by a bald eagle, there's no doubt in my mind it goes right to Reagan in heaven. That's how you get him.
It's like a goal. Well,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we have some entertainment news on page 2.
I can only imagine what that counts for.
According to the dramatic critic of the Chico Enterprise, the play of May Blossom, as presented in that city by the Rosewood Combination, found little favor. He remarks, on the whole, there was too much emotional, sickening dribble in the play with the audience. And the audience was thoroughly disgusted with the kissing and hugging and sighing and fainting that took place before the thing was over. The people of Chico do not want any more May Blossom in theirs.
Wow.
Wow.
Pan.
That is an angry review.
And this is a time, Arden, where we've learned people would go watch like a walk race and be like, whoa.
Right.
So for your play to get this panned, it's not good.
No, there was a guy carrying around a sack of flour and everyone in the town would come out to see him. Like, it's
the flour guy.
Honestly, if I went to a town and they had a full event of a guy carrying a sack of flour, I would absolutely go watch it and be excited about it. Like, that it was set up, it was organized, people knew about it, I would go support that.
Yeah.
I feel that this person was maybe excited by that, like a little turned on by like the, and really needed to shut, like sort of like how, like the senators that are like, gay people are disgusting.
Yeah.
And then they like have like a boyfriend on the side or whatever. Right. I feel like this guy, this was too much.
Protest too much.
Yes. Too exciting.
It's also that like normally the reason why you're in the position of being a critic is because you have like a taste for the arts and people respect, but he's like, everyone was disgusted. Like, he's taking the side of the people versus his own opinion, kind of, which is, new. It's new.
Yeah.
It's new.
God, there's a lot happening in Sacramento.
Oh, it's no joke.
It's no joke.
No. Babies getting taken.
I mean, truly, this is the most exciting paper I've had read to me in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hire somebody to read me the paper.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is an honor considering.
I have it delivered, and then I just pay whoever's passing by. And I'm like, ugh.
Excuse me, sir. Sir.
Garçon,
I'm ready.
Yeah, that's what I do every morning.
The next, we're on page 3 now.
Okay.
Headline, broke his arm.
Now we're finally getting to what these papers are normally like. A man's nail fell off.
Johnson has a cold.
Yeah.
Ex-Deputy Sheriff George Newbert, proprietor of the Bruce House, had his arm broken in an unusual way a few days ago. He and another gentleman were boasting of their superior muscle, and to ascertain which had the stronger right arm, they placed their elbows on the bar, clasped right hands, the test being to see which one could force the other's arm down on the counter.
What was arm wrestling not a term? Like, he just didn't have access to the term arm wrestling. He was like, it was quite a contest. It was hand versus hand with elbows pushed down on wood.
There was a considerable struggle, and at last, Newbert, who is a powerful man, made a great effort and forced his opponent's arm down. But at the same instant, the bone of his arm snapped between the elbow and the shoulder. The arm was broken in the same place some years ago, and this accounts for the fracture.
I feel that I would have had the same reaction with the... I feel that I have so little calcium in my body that if it had been me, but in like the 1800s and that sort of a lark, we're like, let's arm wrestle. I believe that somebody could snap my upper arm just like with a fun little game of arm wrestling.
Well, what if like when you were getting ready to do that, an eagle just came down and took you?
It would be my destiny. I know I was going to go see Ronald Reagan, so I'd be excited.
Hello, Arden. Yeah. But so nobody wins. If you pin a guy's arm
in
an arm wrestling match, yours snaps in two. Feels like we might have a draw.
It does feel like a draw. It does
it's just a hard. It's a hard win when you're like, thank you. High five on the other hand. Ow.
We're still on page three. This headline is From War to Peace. The quarrel of an Italian and French woman.
Oh, here, this will probably be dealt with.
This is their crime blotter. Police Matters. Police Matters.
Here we go.
Love this.
Yesterday afternoon, down in the vicinity of 2nd and L Streets, there was quite a commotion owing to a disturbance between an intoxicated French woman named Cora Phelps and Stefano Rinaldo, a saloon keeper. She blew a police whistle violently for a while and then made up her mind.
Hello, hello. Where are you?
Hey,
why don't you come get me?
You are not the boss of me, okay?
I'm sick of it. You give me more vino before I lose my mind.
And then made up her mind to go immediately to the police station to have Rinaldo arrested.
What is she arresting him for?
It doesn't say. Okay. It doesn't say.
You're making me too horny. Okay.
Yes, it is. Been distracting.
You don't. Nah. Miss Mendy.
So Stefano concluded to checkmate the Frenchwoman and then commenced a lively race, the Italian winning by a full block. So they
I will race
wait,
you.
Wait. I'm sorry.
Checkmating. Checkmating.
So he's going to... I think they're both... Although it says Stefano. An Italian and French woman. The Italian is just... Oh. You figure that's a man.
Wow. That's strange. You didn't gender specify, because my head immediately went, this was a man.
So wait, they were both women, but Stefano is clearly a dude. So
okay.
Stefano... Stefano Rinaldo's a dude. She's a woman.
Right.
She blows the whistle. Nobody comes. Then she says, I'm going to have you arrested. She runs to the police station. He says, no, I'm going to have you arrested. And he beats her to the police station.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That really is.
For being too hot?
I don't know. Okay. So he went up the stairs to the city attorney's office, four steps at a time, and was breathlessly telling of an assault by the woman.
You're not going to believe this one. It is a lady. She... I'm just sorry. My sides is killing me.
Gosh, she's like a spicy meatball.
No, he's also out of breath, but he's also wronger than me.
So when she put in an appearance downstairs and was quickly piloted upward by a reporter who wished to see the city attorney tossed between the wave of hot Italian wrath and the whirlwind of French fury. So the reporter's like, get up there. This is going to be great. This is
going to
be
awesome. Yeah, keep going.
An Italian and a French fight. I'm like, oh, this is hilarious.
If we get a priest, have I got an article?
While accusing parties glared at each other, the attorney was endeavoring to bring about a lull of the passionate elements.
It's no, very pervy, very pervy.
This is a very pervy paper, and yes. I love it.
It is.
Yep.
I love it.
Judge Henry entered and joined in the smile of spectators who were observing the ludicrous scene. The French woman.
The judge also is like, well, this is quite droll. This is fun.
Great day.
Ludicrous. This is
fun. Ludicrous and fun.
The French woman did not know the official, but catching sight of his amused face, indignantly denounced him as no gentleman and ordered
You're no
him
gentleman,
from the
what you don't know shit.
She told the judge to leave.
You leave, fuck off.
He and the crowd only smiled the more, and when someone addressed him as judge, she was sober enough to become calm and humbly, tearfully beg his pardon for her.
My apologies. I am so sorry. My apologies. Your Honor.
And she.
Excuse me. I do not recognize you without your robe on. Excuse me.
I thought you had to wear robes all the time.
She declared that she was only a poor girl. And then in parentheses, wow. It says aged 45 years.
Ew, wow. Gross.
Wow.
She's not a girl. She's a skeleton. 45 years, a girl. How dare you? You
45. More like French hag bag.
Yeah, I mean, truly, they were
45
like,
years.
45, you girl.
I told her she is a duster bag.
And just a dust comes out. Like,
that's why I was beaten here. I'm so old. I'm 45.
The attorney settled the matter temporarily by allowing each party to sign complaints and having both arrested.
Right.
What did they both? Were they both like? Well, wait. Sorry. What? Yeah. That's right. We'll meet in the middle. It seems like you both have been drinking a little. We'll all go to jail. Does that sound?
Everyone here, just so everybody's happy. We're all going to get arrested.
Everyone's
happy.
Just so we meet.
We're cool.
That it's just a clean. Like, we're just.
Yeah,
we'll you'll both go to prison.
That's
awesome.
Cool, right?
Great. That's
okay,
fantastic.
I'm just a young girl. 45.
We would put her in juvenile hall. I'm kidding. She's 45. It's a miracle she could run.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this woman alive?
Explain. This is an apparition if I've ever seen one.
Okay.
Dave just got afraid. He's not afraid of no ghosts.
Oh, yeah, Dave, you did turn a little white there, Dave.
He did get very afraid.
I'm not afraid of no ghosts.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not afraid of no ghosts. I said this.
No, I just sure makes that clear. Your shirt makes it very clear.
You've been very outspoken about, you're not afraid of ghosts. And by the way, I just want to add to the plain outfit I'm going to get you, you'll also have one of those, like, Ghostbuster guns.
The backpack.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. Overland on horseback. A man passed through Auburn last Thursday riding a fine gray Norman stallion and leading a big brown mare, the latter heavily packed, who had just come through from Illinois. He left the latter state last June and had been about 4 months on the road. He was on his way to Murphy's camp in one of those lower counties. These are the first horses that have crossed the plains on foot, doubtless for some years.
Wow.
So a guy rode through...
I rode through
on a horse.
They couldn't believe it.
Dave, what page of the paper are we on? 55?
We're on four.
Feels like we're dragging ass a little now.
Yeah. I mean, look, they had such a hot week. They were all exhausted from such a hot week.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, then they were like, and a bunch of horses rode.
There was a man on a horse.
A guy was on a horse. It's pretty crazy for the 1800s, huh? Man on a horse? Now I've heard everything.
What a crazy...
All right. Think about all the things you guys know. Just think about every single story and paper that you guys have, like, learned about over the years.
Arden, I've forgotten everything? 98%. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. People
will be like...
There's so much.
Remember that guy bought that country? You know, and I'll go, no clue what you're talking about. Sounds insane.
I have no idea.
I guess you would almost have to have... You'd have to, like, clear space for that.
Yeah, it's a little bit... It's like the desktop trash can. It's like, you could fill it up, but eventually, you know, we got to make room for more trash to fit in my head.
I understand. Trust me, as a person whose brain is filled with trash, I just have to constantly... legitimately, who's professionally has a brain filled with trash.
Trash.
It does not. It's in and out very quickly.
Yeah, it has to be.
It has to be. It's just pure garbage over here. Pure garbage. I mean, look at my world that it's all trash.
It's great.
It is.
It's great.
It's not classy. It's pure trash.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. This doesn't have a headline, but people living in the neighborhood.
By the way, seems like a weird thing, but sure, paper. No headline for this one. Just go straight story. Whatever.
Some stories, they just have a line above it.
Sure, yeah. Who needs. Right.
People living in the neighborhood of New Chinatown witnessed a novel sight yesterday when a Chinaman went galloping along the street on the back of a monster bear, which was going at a pretty lively rate. There's more.
I mean, if only they could have worded it better, because it's a great story. But the opener, it's like you get the, you know, I feel like
them, that's more shocking than the bear. They're like, a Chinaman was a wow.
Yeah.
The racism against Chinese people in Western papers is fucking crazy. We used to find stories, and I haven't seen them lately, where they would put two E's on the end of a word when they would be having a quoting a Chinese person.
Ugh,
and it was just like, so Chinese.
No.
Insane. Yeah.
Oh, it's bad.
Can't they just say a man was riding a bear? That is a great headline. Like
It's a great headline.
I didn't know a man could ride a bear.
It's a fine headline.
Yeah. I've never heard of a man riding a bear.
I don't fully believe
it. I believe that less than I believe the 2-year-old and the eagle. That feels like a lot happening in town. The fact that made a man riding a horse and a man riding a bear, but then they had to get like racist.
How is a man riding a bear later than the horse riding man?
That's what I need to know.
That is an actually very good question, but you know, maybe this is the, where they always do the and in Chinatown news.
Yeah,
right.
Page 4. Okay, sure. Right. Yeah.
Right.
The Bruin was bridled and saddled in a regular fashion. So the bear was saddled in a regular bear fashion.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, they put a little number on his side, jockey, all the whole nine.
I mean, bears are super cute. Like, I love the idea of putting a saddle on a bear and riding it. I'd love to ride a bear, but I don't think it's a great, long-term commitment that I can make.
No.
No.
Nope.
I'm going to leave out this next description of the rider, but the rider wore the rider wore a heavy pair of spurs. The rider and his steed halted in the main street of the Chinese quarters.
What?
And the bear was led through one of the stores back into a little shed. What is going on?
I'm starting to no longer believe that this happened.
That poor bear.
He's got spurs and then he's parallel parking him into stalls?
He lives in a shed behind the store. It's the bear. Right. It's the store shed bear.
Just so, remind me to never shop there.
It's like a deli cat.
And what do you guys do? It's a bodega.
Learning of the curious riding animal, a Chronicle reporter went to New Chinatown to see it and the rider, and the bear was found to be of the black species and was a regular jumbo in size, standing nearly as high as a cow.
Standing as high as a cow?
Yeah, stood as high as a cow. In conversation,
are they talking
about
a cow on all fours, or are they standing up a cow being like that? That's basically it.
I don't think I've never seen a cow stand on two.
Oh, you've never read Gary Larson. Get involved, my man.
Yeah.
One of the great documentarians of our time.
Mm-hmm.
In conversation with the owner, it was learned that he had caught his bear when it was a very small cub, that he carried it to his cabin, cared for it tenderly, and when it grew large enough, he trained it to draw a small wagon and to perform numerous tricks.
I just The bear has always been well treated. Oh,
You lost me at that point.
The bear's always been well treated. That's why I ride spurs on him.
And it runs about as it pleases, but always returns to its master when called, just like an intelligent dog would. When the bear became strong, the China man began riding him and never had any trouble. He now rides him whenever he goes hunting or fishing, and finds the brute a better companion than a dog, for he will go into water and bring out game, or will carry
everything out of the river.
He's a wild, he's a bear.
He's a bear.
You know what? He's better than a dog when it comes to salmon fishing. He really, the dog actually would retrieve. This bear does most of the hunting, honestly.
But I rolled the bear there, and the bear just really clears out that river. Back.
I just kind of watch the bear do his thing, ride it back and forth. I mean, really, it's quite a relationship. I'm so, like the baby shark. You know how you got the shark and then you got the little baby fish that just eats the grubs? That's me.
I mean, we have a lot of problems with this story, but the idea that a bear would go catch a salmon and be like, hey, no, you can have this. I like, it's just never happened.
No, I just can't think, like, let's just say he did capture this bear.
Sure.
The bear is going to turn on this guy.
Absolutely. Oh, fuck yeah.
This is not, I mean, this is like, Tiger King. Like, this is eventually the bear is like, what the fuck? I'm a bear. I live behind a deli.
Yeah.
And you're riding me to the river with your spurs on and you're making me catch your salmon. I don't think so. I'm a fucking bear.
At some point, the light goes on for the bear and he's like, I think I don't need him. I mean, it's like the end of Grizzly Man. It just ends one day with the brain getting eaten while Werner Herzog's like, and he had no clue. What he'd gotten himself into in the bodega.
The bodega. The bear's going to win in the end, for sure.
Yeah.
No, that's it on the bear.
I feel like bodega should be a musical, like Little Shop of Horrors. And like, the bear just like takes over. Everybody comes and visit the bear. They get a lot of publicity from the bear. People want to get pictures with, like, you know, like a...
The critic shows up and he's like, I am just sick and tired of bear musicals. This town doesn't need any more emotional stories between bears and men.
Everyone is disgusted by
it. We were all throwing up in our bags.
There was so much... The kissing between the man and the bear was disgusting.
Enough!
I did stand up in Alaska like 3 years ago. It was like a little tour with me and Chris Porter and Bill Dwyer and Jeff Dye. And like this guy.
Well, going out in the wild, going out with Bill Dwyer is like riding a bear.
That's all I want to say. I haven't actually ridden a bear, but I feel like I've ridden a bear. No, it's actually really fun. But there was like an article. This guy wrote this article and he was like, really nice about those three guys, and he was like, and then I didn't talk to this guy. It's like the coquettish Marie, and I'm like, I'm just
coquettish.
Lady, I'm just a human woman with a high voice and blah, like the coquettish Marie. And I was like, I'm not even like flirty in my ass. I'm like this stupid idea. It's just like wow. It wasn't even a review of the show. It was before we'd arrived trying to get people to come buy tickets. It wasn't even a review. It was just like,
wow.
You've seen her on these shows being all coquette. It was the most.
You know, painful. Arden. You know, Arden.
Yeah.
All you have to do in Alaska is just be like, woman, be here. And then the place will fill up.
I mean, quite honestly, the crowds in Alaska are great. Like, it's actually really fun to go to. It was so weird because it's always generally such a fun show to go do. But, like, this reporter was so enraged that a human female was doing stuff like how dare she? Human. Woman, female.
She's not allowed through the wall.
Yeah, okay. Crazy.
On that note, this headline is a queer girl from Merced.
Oh, I can only imagine the sensitivity that this is treated with.
It would do well in 2021.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, this, yes.
Hazen Clark from Plainsburg, Merced County, who is camping with his family on the vacant lot next to Chestnut Woods Business College has a great curiosity.
Like, by the way, sounds like a great camping trip. Hey, we're going to pitch a tent near the school.
Have you been camping near the business school? It's amazing.
I love camping. I go up to Occidental College.
I love it there. In the spring?
I go to science lab. And I just pitch a tent. And it is just the Bunsen burner cast off alone.
One with the school. It's you're right back to the elements.
And they're like, ma'am, we're going to have to ask you to move your tent. I'm not moving.
And you're roasting a marshmallow. Oh, look, I love nature.
Nature. I love being outside. Then I go to USC. It's great.
Hazen Clark has a great curiosity in the shape of a girl 10 years old.
What the fuck? What? I'm like bothered, but I'm not sure why.
She is about 28 inches high and weighs 70 pounds.
Okay, what's
this
happening?
Is a little serial killer. Like, is this written? Trophy dog here.
It sounds like it's an Eagle recipe book.
Her head measures 24 inches in circumference, and her joints are all double, as well as her brain.
What is happening right now, Dave?
She has double brain and joints.
She has double brain?
She appears perfectly well in spite of her abnormal development, and Mr. Clark says she has never been sick a day in her life.
That's what? Sensitive to this lovely young lady.
Oh, yeah. She's got two brains and can twist her arm in any direction, but she's fine. She's a fine girl.
She's 12, but she measures. She's just the size to fit in my pocket.
Do you want to measure her head? Measure her head again. Tell me I'm wrong. What a crazy stat list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was like a reporter walking by the college, and he was like, oh, may I measure your girl?
Absolutely, you may. Would you like to use our tape measure, or have you brought your own? There we are. Show them what you can do with your leg, honey. There we are. Look, she can turn it around all the way. And her brain's lumpy, too. There's two in there, you see? It's like when you get a double-yolked egg. Look at that.
A double-yolked egg.
His feet gave him away at locking up time at the Folsom prison yesterday afternoon. It was found that Dan Sullivan, a prisoner sent from San Francisco, was missing.
Uh-oh.
The prison force was called out and searched, and Sullivan was found covered up in the sand, only his feet protruding.
Oh man, you got to do the feet.
Come on.
How sloppy are you?
They can just cuz you can't see them with your eyes, they can still see your feet.
It's the ostrich. It's the fatal flaw of the ostrich, believing that the whole body's under sand.
I mean, that's how I feel out in the world when I have a mask on. I literally think I'm invisible, and then when people can see me, I'm like so enraged that my face mask hasn't like hidden me completely that I feel invisible, but then I'm not, and I don't like it.
I feel it.
Two stalwart guards resurrected the attempted escape by pulling him out by the heels, and he was immediately incarcerated in the, quote, deepest dungeon beneath the castle's moat.
Aww.
What? The deepest? What sort of fairy tale shit is? That's where Rumpelstiltskin lives.
He moved to Rumpelstiltskin's basement. They're not going well for him.
They moved him to under the moat?
I do. Look, I'm not saying, I don't know what he did. Maybe he did bad things. But when I hear somebody have an escape, I'm like, have a go. You know what I mean? Good for you. Got out. Give it a go.
I agree. It is at that point where I'm like, let him have some fun.
Let him have some fun.
He just wants to go lay in the sand for a while. Hopefully he remembers his feet.
Yeah, he's just hiding in the sand.
Okay, perfect. Everything's covered. Wait.
Here's a good headline. Why are they not arrested?
Sure.
On the morning of August 8th, two young men engaged in a wild shooting affair in an uptown lodging house. There were other persons in the room, but strangely, only the principals were wounded. Both were expected to die and were not disturbed at their homes by the officers. But as in proof of the adage that only the good die young, this pair of hoodlums lived and now walk the streets. As if they did not care to be tried for violating the laws, they did not make complaints against each other and have never been prosecuted.
This sounds like when someone tells you a story and you don't know either of the people in it, and you're like, I'm sorry, I don't understand. What's happening?
You're like, so two people shot each other and then either reported each other. They're both like, we don't want to go to jail. Like, you don't want to go to jail, right? So let's just pretend this never happened. We had a bad
night. Great. Yep, put your fingers in your holes.
Yeah, so young John Palm and John McIsaac should have been arrested upon the order of the chief of police, and they and all their ilk taught a lesson in regard to the carrying of arms and the two free use of them. So they're just free. They shot each other.
And they just...
But if you shoot each other...
Yeah, I think you're allowed to figure it out. I think you're legally allowed to negotiate on your own behalf.
If you had to get shot in one part of your body, if you each had to shoot each other, what part of the body would you choose to get shot in?
Wow, that's a really good one.
Thank you so much. I feel really excited about that. I was excited that I thought of that.
I would probably go, there's some factors, but if I would just, I would probably request. I've been drinking all day. I should point that out. In the buttock, because it is. It's, you know, there's a lot to it. I feel like it could take a bullet. I mean, it's taken two already. but that was Vietnam. Dave, what about you? You can't say butter. You're cheating.
Well, that's fucked.
What do you think, Dick? All right, Dave says Dick. Let's just move on.
Dave says Dick.
Let's just Dave keep says going. Dick. Dave, you can tell by his eyes.
I guess I wanted
in
to
the
go.
The Ghostbusters logo.
I wanted to go through a torso, but a place where it would just go through.
Oh, not, that is
not get,
really...
Not get like an organ.
No organ. Organ area.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could get like a hip, like, but I don't want like the bone of the hip.
Yeah, you don't want the hip bone.
Like the side ass. I just want like the...
Cause your ass too. Yeah, ass.
I feel I like
agree.
If you go ass or like the side hip, where there's, I want, there's like a little meat on the side hip.
I want side cheek. I want. Yeah, I don't want dead on. I want like you're like. Think of the temple of my butt. I want it on the temple of my butt.
I think about it.
No, Dave. What did you say?
I said I do think about it.
What do you mean you think? What do you mean you do? What the fucking crazy
answer? I think
answer?
About it.
What a crazy thing to say.
He texts me about it all the time. We haven't spoken in person in years. But he texts me all the time about the temple of your butt.
Oh, I do drawings. I have a collection.
God. Okay,
he's like the Yellow King in True Detective about your ass.
Oh, no, that's a graphic image.
That's what he is. I don't know. I'm not saying it's me. I'm just saying these are the texts I get.
It
I'm not
feels like you're
him.
Nurturing it, though.
Safe.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying. I want him to feel comfortable.
Oh, my God.
Sunny's being Dave Susan.
Oh, that's what you meant when you said butt temple. I just thought that was your religion.
No, that's, no, it's you. Which is also my religion, in a way.
He worships at the temple.
I can't
butt temple.
I cannot
butt
work
temple.
Like this.
BT.
No. BT. Stop.
Let's end with a quick one. This just says the rise of MC Blake. MC Blake.
Oh, I love his. Yeah, he was in Tribe.
MC Blake, who since owned Reno town site, traded his coat one winter for seed wheat and went all winter with a blanket tied around him with a baling rope. That's the whole story.
Wait, I know.
Say that one more time. Wait a minute. He traded everything for seed wheat
in winter. He trades his coat for
his
seed wheat.
For seed wheat and went all winter with a blanket tied around him with a
but I know
rope.
What he's thinking. He's like,
yes.
He's like, I can get a lot for this jacket now. The market is screaming
right.
and dictating for coats. Nobody's planting in the winter.
Right.
I'll trade my jacket. It's basically Jack at the Beanstalk. He's like, I'll trade my jacket for some seed weed. I'll have the worst winter on record.
Yeah.
But then, man, am I going to have whatever the fuck seed weed is crops.
That's right.
I mean, I hope he did. I hope he gambled correctly. I hope he survived and
feel...
was just like fully making it rain and seed wheat. All when the harvest came, watch out.
Just 90 more days until I can plant my seed wheat. Wow. And what page is that on, Dave? Is that like, is that?
On page 8.
What is the date again, one more time, Dave, if you don't mind me asking?
October 23rd, 1885, year of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Let me ask you a question. How old do you think you would have lived to in that year?
We've dabbled in this.
12.
Yeah.
A woman
I don't
of 45.
I mean, that's.
I don't last long in these times. I absolutely
no, I
don't
either.
Last long.
No. I do not come from party stock. I do not come from party. We shrink each generation.
They would have had a gout. They would have had a gout cemetery for my whole family.
Oh man. Sure. You would have been the part of the gouts. And these are the gouts.
No, literally ever. Like, my great-grandfather was, like, 6'6".
Oh, so you are really.
Oh.
No, we literally are shrinking every generation. It's like bone jeans. Yeah, we just get smaller and smaller.
It's like you're those Russian dolls.
Yeah.
But a genealogy.
Yes, that's exactly it. I'm the inner doll. It's, like, not strong, hearty.
See, I have no interest in having children. If I knew that I was going to keep producing tinier and tinier offspring, that would entice me enough to be like, I want to see how small this little thing is.
Jesse, like, how much could offspring just, like, genetically just get fucked in the next generation? Like,
just
shrink
it down. The tiniest.
Yeah.
Mom, I'm full grown. You're so
little. Tiny little man.
Yeah.
A tiny little man.
Well, speaking of tiny little men, Arden, First of all, thank you for joining Dave and I, who are tiny little men on our show.
Couldn't be more excited. I was so excited.
Please promote anything you like. You have, obviously...
Books.
You have a lot going on, so why don't you just go to it? Will you accept this rose, your fantastic podcast?
Can I just say, Gareth has been doing my podcast, and he's so funny. I have a podcast called Will You Accept This Rose? It's a comedy podcast about The Bachelor. You don't have to really watch The Bachelor. You actually do not,
because you do such a good job of condensing what happened, and then you have people who are also so knowledgeable as well.
I'm such a serial killer. I write out each episode, and we have, like, this season's Rookie of the Year is Doug Benson. It's like, broken down by comedians, but we don't do spoilers, and so Gareth is coming up. He's going to be, I believe, the beginning of August, which is when the season gets good. You don't want to be early on. It's when it gets more interesting later on.
Yeah, although I will, Arden, believe me, I was biting through my tongue when I was watching The Catman. But anyway, keep going.
Oh, my God, we need to talk about that for a second. Okay, but then I have a book called Little Miss Little Compton that is out now. It's about to come out in paperback. It actually is very much a lot about that town that has the newspaper that's like that. It feels like a time travel town, and the doctor that shits in the hole.
That's a great doctor. As long as he keeps it to the golf course and not wounds.
Exactly. That's right. And you can follow me on Instagram at Arden Marine. Looks like Myron, M-Y.
Nobody would ever pronounce it like that. That's crazy.
No, it's just like, you know, the drunk Swedes that are just shrinking every generation, trying to make it complicated.
Tinier and tinier.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Arden. Oh,
thank you for having
Fantastic.
Me. Fantastic. Thank
you, Gary. And Dave Susan, you were just on fire again, baby.
Dave, Susan, it's always nice to see you. I like you.
And don't forget, I ain't afraid of no ghosts. That's my catchphrase.
Some of these days, you'll miss me, honey. Some of these days.
Oh, yes, it's Gareth. Not Gary, stop it. Gareforce, listen, I've got a bunch of stand-up shows coming up, and I want to see you there. We can hug. I will be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California, April 18th, 19th, and 20th. Then I will be in Chattanooga, Tennessee, June 18th. I will be at Nashville, Zanies, June 19th. I will be in Huntsville, Alabama, June 20th. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, June 21st, June 22nd. Then I will be in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, June 26th. Then I'll be in East Providence, Rhode Island, June 27th. Then I'll be in Boston, Massachusetts, and Boston, June 28th. That's two shows. I will be in Springfield, Massachusetts, June 29th, Rochester, New York, June 30th, and then July 5th through the 6th. Canada, I've heard your prayers, and I will answer them. I will be in Toronto. So come join me at the Comedy Bar. Go to GarethReynolds.com for tickets and information. That's right, Gareforce. We're calling you up. It's the big time. The big leagues. This went poorly.